This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Xiao Ning and this is The Morning Run with Philip C. It has just gone past 7:20 in the morning, and in about half an hour, we're talking about the cost of children not being in school during this pandemic with Dr. Niaz Asadullah, who is the economist with the Global Labour Organization. But in the meantime, let's talk about the extension of the MCO, because as we know, it has been extended for another 2 weeks until February 18, with COVID-19 cases continuing to trend upwards in the four-digit range.
Unfortunately, this news is a bitter pill for many who are struggling economically. Lower-income households, or how we term it, the B40 segment, are disproportionately affected by these pandemic measures. As such, their sources of income have dwindled significantly with movement restrictions in place. In KL alone, Federal Territories Minister Tan Sri Anwar Musa said that over 30,000 families earn below RM2,200 per month. That's shocking in my view.
They are in need of what are basic assistance for food, clothing and shelter. Meanwhile, in his press conference, Senior Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri also acknowledged that a stricter lockdown would harm the B40 community, which is why there would not be a total economic lockdown. But with MCO 2.0 set to continue for at least another 2 weeks, what is being done to help those who are on the edge of survival? So joining us this morning to discuss this is Hawati Abdul Hamid, Senior Research Associate at the Khazanah Research Institute. Good morning, Hawa. Thanks for speaking with us today. Now, I want to know, really, how has the impact of MCO 2.0 been more or less severe on lower income households compared to the previous year?
Good morning. To be fair, I think when we enter into MCO 2.0, we enter it with more experience in terms of managing the crisis, especially for the government. We can see that more attention to the detail have been given, particularly if you see during the first lockdown, there were totally complete lockdown, that there were no, for example, the petty trader were not allowed to operate their business, but this time we can see self-employed or petty traders are still given the opportunity to continue their business, and there are also some other more sector being given the approval to operate as well as in terms of operating hour. But I think despite this policy, I think the impact on the low income household can be, I would say, it's quite similar to what they experienced during the first lockdown, because if you look at their social demographic background of this low income household, who are they? They normally work in a low skilled job where there is very small opportunity for them to be able to work from home. A lot of them work with micro enterprises, where we know that micro enterprises are struggling like right now. And for those who are self-employed, they basically have a lot of income in insecurity. Look at Talian Kasih, for example, provided by the Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat, and you can see that they have received a spike in the increase of call to the center, and about 90% of the call, most of them are asking for assistance.
Thanks, Hawa. I think the question here is, in your assessment, you talked about it just now, and also just recently, the Prime Minister had launched the 5MY program. How effective do you think the government's targeted assistance to these households are, right? And what are the main gaps you see there?
Okay, I would comment in general, the initiative that being done for the low-income household. For example, I think the Bantuan Prihatin Nasional, the income replacement that the government is giving is quite low. Compared to the time they are asked to stay at home. I mean, we have been in this situation for about 1 year, and the kind of assistance, especially cash assistance, have been, the amount I think is quite low. And the other one, all the assistance in terms of wage subsidy or as well as withdrawal of EPF saving, a lot of these are not feasible for a lot of poor households because they are not in the system to begin with.
So realistically, what kind of assistance actually then needs to be channeled to this B40 community if they need to survive a prolonged MCO then?
For me, what is most important right now is just income supplement, especially for low-income household or poor, because this is the most important thing for them. Just give more cash transfers and let them decide what are their needs that they want to do with the money.
That's a really interesting point, because it's a bit tangential to what the Prime Minister's program, which is very targeted, right, to the five sub-programs of the five MY pieces, because you are referring and advocating for basically a cash transfer and giving them the freedom to do the allocation. Now, you talk here about the short-term measures, right? Do we need to talk about the long-term solutions and strategies to help take them out from this current situation they're in, or is this too premature and early to have a conversation on?
Well, I think we are not done enough in the short term. So more focus should be given. If we're talking about poor households, more attention should be given to their needs during this hard time. But nevertheless, in terms of long-term strategies, I think a few things that we can we have to improve, especially in terms of social protection system. What I mean here that this crisis is actually a really good opportunity for us to strengthen the social protection system. For example, with this cash assistance given, there should be more systematic initiative that we should deploy in terms of how we can bring these low income who are more prevalent in informal sector to be part of the system. For example, I know that a lot of the system being given via Bantuan Sara Hidup or B40 channel, but then one way that we can think of is in terms of why not we bring them into the social protection system under SOCSO, or for example, we ask them, we know that in order for them to be entitled for some assistance, they need to declare their income or get them registered. What? Get them registered, and why not get them declare their income via the tax system? And from there, we can track their well-being over time. And because we know that poverty sometimes is not a static. Yep. People move in and out from poverty. And by this way, we can improve the reach of this segment of society.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Hawati Abdul Hamid, Senior Research Associate at the Khazana Research Institute, giving us her views on the unfortunate, probably the higher incidence of urban poverty as a result of this COVID-19 pandemic. So like she says, MCO 2.0, a little bit better than the first time round because the lockdown is not so severe. Petty traders are allowed to continue, for example. But I think the key takeaway for me is that, yes, there really needs to be a reset of the social protection system within Malaysia. Yep. How do we effectively track all these people who do need this help? And I want to point out that currently, there are so many government agencies involved. So there's the Department of Social Welfare, Federal Territories, example, Federal Territories, Islamic Religious Council, Federal Territories. There's many agencies, right? Could it be better that all these agencies kind of communicate with each other and there's a centralized system? And like she says, how do you monitor all these people? Because they sometimes are in a state of poverty and then they improve. So how do we get all these people into a formal system so that we can really reach out to those who really need it?
And I think the question here is, I think the problem we have is we do a lot of programs and she's advocating for a very clear cut. Let's have a structure, let's have a system, record them. And if needed, we provide social protection, provide cash transfers. Because the challenge we have with this group is that their exposure to the informal economy is very high.
Yeah. But the main thing is, her point is, at this current moment, what they need is cash because things aren't great for a lot of people.
Yes.
But up next, a deep dive on the military coup that's happening in Myanmar, that's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.